Well, today I'm going to do my very best to communicate the Word of God to you. How many people know communication is important? Anyone?
Yes.
How many married people are in the room today? How many married people would say communication's important? Okay. Well, I heard the story of a guy whose wife was a bigwig in her company, and she went on this trip to Europe, okay? And when she reached Italy, she called back to her husband, who was living in Minneapolis, and she called back to her husband and said, "Well, how's everything going?" And how many people know we as guys, we just give the most basic answer? He said, "Well, everything's going fine." Okay? So she got more specifically, and she asked this question, "Well, how's the cat? How's the cat doing?" And he said, "Honey, I'm sorry to inform you, but the cat's died." She let out a scream. She dropped the phone. Then after just a few seconds, she picked it up again. And she said, "Why did you tell me this?" He said, "Sorry, but that's the case, sweetie. Your cat has died." And she was upset. And she said, "All you had to say is the cat is up on the roof." Okay? And then when I made my next call from Paris, you could have told me then the cat was up in a tree. And then when you reach London, you could say, "Hey, honey, your cat fell out of the tree." And then when I would have returned to the States on my way back and stopped in New York, you could have said, "Honey, I had to take the cat to the vet." Then when I arrived in Minneapolis at the airport, you could have greeted me there with this big, big hug and said, "Sweetheart, I hate to inform you, but your cat has died. But now you've ruined my whole trip. And here I am in Italy knowing I have all this time ahead of me and I know that my cat has passed away." The husband, a very wise man, replied, "I'm sorry, honey. I didn't understand the protocol of how I should have told you." Okay? So it got quiet. There was silence on the phone. Then she broke the silence by asking, "By the way, how's my mother doing?" After a long period of silence, he said, "Well, she's up on the roof." Communication. So, she's up on the roof. She'll be in the tree later, okay. Well, good morning. I do want to thank you for being here. We're in this sermon series. We're in week 4, and the series is called Jesus Is. Okay, very simple. We've given you the subject, the verb. You fill in the blank. Jesus Is. And what we're doing in this series is we're really keeping it simple. We're opening our Bibles, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to open our Bibles, and we're going to discover what the Bible has to say concerning who Jesus is. Who is Jesus according to the Bible? That's very important, because here's why that's important. Many of us, our concept of Jesus doesn't come from the Bible, but for many people, their concept of Jesus comes from culture, and it also comes from tradition. And as a result, they have this very limited view of who Jesus is, okay? It's because it doesn't come from the Bible. It's coming from culture and tradition, limited view. And here's the problem with having a limited view of Jesus is this: we limit what Jesus can do in our lives. If we have a limited view of Jesus, we're going to limit what he can do in us personally, what he can do in our marriages, what he can do in our family, what he can do in our church and our world. Why? Because we have this real small view of Jesus, and we don't see the vast greatness of who he is, so we limit what he can do in our lives. So this is the journey we've been on. Week 1, we said Jesus is our friend, and we said a friendship with Jesus changes everything. Our thought there is when we have a friendship with Jesus, it impacts, influences every area of our lives, our priorities, our values, our friendship. Jesus, a friendship with Jesus is just going to come and it's going to impact every area of your life. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus's grace, and we said grace is this unearned, undeserved kindness and forgiveness. This unconditional love, that's who Jesus is. Jesus is grace. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Amen? Amen. Then last week, I know we're a week removed. I know a lot of life has happened in the last 6 days. Can anybody remember what we talked about last week? Jesus is a... Wow, you guys are good. A servant. Servant. And what we've discovered, we went to the scriptures and we found out that Jesus, just by coming from heaven to earth, he came not to be served by people. He came to serve. And as a result, he died on the cross for our what? Our salvation. Our salvation. And here's the deal. Now we are to follow. We're to take on the mind of Jesus. And just as Jesus served people, he's calling his followers to be like me. Not me, but Jesus. And that is, we are supposed to serve just as Jesus served. Not just one day a week, but that's just who we are. That's our lifestyle. We go and we look for needs, and we help people meet needs in Jesus' name. Jesus was a servant, okay? So today what I want to do is I want to look at one last title for Jesus. Because next week we're going to go on a break, and then we're going to go on and do some other things after that. We're going to talk about how Jesus is a good shepherd. Everybody say good shepherd. Okay. And to help us on this journey this morning, I want to direct your attention to a portion of Scripture where Jesus refers to himself. He refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. Okay? So if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to look for the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The fourth book in the New Testament. And we're going to pick it up in chapter 10. And let's begin reading today, since we have limited time. Let's pick it up in verse 11. Does that sound good? Verse 11. And I'm going to have Nolan read the passage today. So if you don't have a Bible, you can just look above me. The scripture's there. But I think it's real important that we have a hard copy of the Bible so we can underline, highlight, know where these books are found in the Bible. So Nolan, if you could read for us John 10, verses 11 through 16.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because he does not belong to him. He isn't either the shepherd. And so the wolf attacks him and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. And the good shepherd... I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd.
All right, thank you. The Word of God, John chapter 10. Well, I've been preparing all week to share with you this morning from God's Word. And sometime when I'm in my office, I need to just confess that I've been prone to daydream. Does anybody daydreams at work? Well, the rest of you, man, you're just punching that clock and you're just nailing it all the whole. But anyway, I'm thinking about this message and I started thinking about the NFL, the National Football League. I'm like, what's going on here? Thinking about the NFL while I'm preparing a message. And it's funny because I realized I was thinking about all the different names of the different teams in the NFL. And to my surprise, I never realized this, but it's amazing how many teams have a mascot that's an animal. And in that, I'm including birds and I'm including fish, but we'll put them all in one big group. By the way, how many teams are there in the NFL, somebody?
32.
Wow, you guys are quick. How many books in the Bible? Oh, Lord, forgive me. I just had to do that, okay? How many in the NFL? No, I'm not. We won't go there. So what was it, 32 teams in the NFL? Listen to this. Animals, birds, and what was the other one?
Fish.
There we go. Listen, dolphins. It's a type of fish. It's a mammal, okay? Ravens, Bengals, Colts. Think of the masculinity or the strength of these names. Jaguars, Broncos, Eagles, Lions. Now we're getting the NFL North. Bears, Falcons, Panthers, Seahawks. I don't know where this one got in. Cardinals. And then you have the Rams. So 14 out of the what, 32? They have this kind of a tough name. And I'm thinking about this and I'm preparing this sermon on the Great Shepherd. Does anybody know where I'm going here? To my surprise, there's no team named after... Show the next slide. Sheep. I'm thinking about going to Green Bay and saying, hey guys, change your name from the Packers to the Green Bay Sheep. And all the Vikings fans said, yay, wouldn't that be awesome? Okay, sheep. Why is it that there's no team that wants to be named known as the sheep? It's just not the way it is. And here's why. Let me share some thoughts about sheep. Thoughts about sheep. There's four of them real quick. And you'll see why there's no team that would ever want to be called a sheep. First of all, sheep are stupid and stubborn. By the way, you say, yo, buckethead. Okay, they're stupid and stubborn. If you think about it, if you go to the circus, you're never going to see a trained group of sheep. And the reason why is because sheep are very, very stubborn. They don't like to receive guidance. They don't like to receive direction. That's just not who they are. They're very stubborn, okay? Second thing about sheep is they're very wayward, meaning that no matter how many times the shepherd brings them back to where they belong in a safe place, they're prone to wander again into dangerous situations near dangerous other animals like bears and lions and panthers and wolves, okay? They're prone to wander into these dangerous situations. They're very wayward. Third, sheep are very, very defenseless, and they're very dependent. Sheep are not fighters, okay? They're very vulnerable to the attacks of other animals like lions, bears, and wolves. And really, they're very dependent. They're very, very dependent upon the quality of their shepherd. See, what we need to understand is that shepherds were absolutely responsible for their sheep. These shepherds would literally risk their lives for their sheep. I actually read of a second century story of a shepherd that went out and he lost his life all while he was trying to protect one of his sheep that went wayward. They were protectors. They would literally lay down their life for their sheep. I mean, think of your Bible. Who was one of the greatest shepherds in the Bible? Does anybody remember Old Testament character? Who was that? David. David was a shepherd of many sheep. And if you go back to your Bible, don't go there, but 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're told that David was a man's man. He fought off a what? A lion. He fought off a bear. So sheep are very wayward, but they're very dependent upon the shepherd. Fourth and final, sheep are very easily frightened. They're frightened. They're very confused. They get set off by if there's any sudden noises or if there's any change in their environment. God forbid there's a change. They get frightened, okay? They get very confused, okay? By the way, how many people have a dog right now that's just hated the last couple of weeks? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? What? Fireworks. I can't wait till this River Falls Days thing is over tonight. How many people have a dog that just freaks out? Yeah, they just freak out. They're kind of like sheep, okay? So now what I want you to see, and we'll get back to it here. What I want you to see here is now we know why there's no NFL team that wants to be known as the sheep, okay? They don't want to be called the Minnesota sheep or the Pittsburgh. No, that will never happen. Sheep, okay? It's just not going to happen, okay? But this is what I want to say. There may be something in the Bible that surprises you this morning. And that is, and it's in the form of a question. And here's my question. What animal are people often referred to in the Bible? Show the picture. Sheep. If you go all the way from Old Testament, especially big presence in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, God's people are often referred to not as lions, not as a big grizzly bear, but often throughout Scripture, God refers to we, his people, he refers to us as sheep. And I find that to be very, very interesting. And I thought to myself this week, why is it that God would refer to me, one of his children, as a sheep? Why would God refer to you, his chosen one, as sheep? Well, let's revisit the four things about sheep. First of all, how many people are like me? You're stubborn from time to time. Is there any stubborn people? You're so stubborn you won't even raise your hand right now. You're just stubborn. We all want to do things what? Our own way. We all want to do things our own way. And we surely don't want people, especially in-laws. We don't want people telling us how to do it. We don't want people offering help and guidance. Why? Because we're like sheep. We're very stubborn. And we can laugh about that this morning, but it's also true when we read the Word of God or when God speaks to us and He shows us how life works the best because He loves us so much. And He shows us something that's contrary to what we want to do, and we're like, no, God, I got this one. Don't tell me how to live my life. We become what? We become like a sheep. We become stubborn. And that's not good because that leads to a bad place. Number two is we're wayward. And here's the deal. We all make mistakes, and we've all made mistakes. How many people made a mistake just this week, this morning? I know some of you never make mistakes. And here's the problem. There's times that we fail to learn from mistakes. We repeatedly make the same mistake, And what happens when you put all those bad mistakes together is they really lead us into a place that we don't want to be, a dangerous place, a place that at age 35, 38, we look and say, how did I end up in this place? Or at age 60, how did I end up? I never thought I would end up here. Why? Because we're wayward. We're wayward. Number three, and this one really hits close to me this morning, and that is we're defenseless. Sure, there are certain things that we can defend ourselves against. Why? Because you're smart. You have common sense. You have intelligence. You have resources. You have networking. There are certainly things that we can defend ourselves against. But how many times do we realize there's some things that are just big? They're bigger than us. They're bigger than our checkbook. They're bigger than we can control. They're big. And they surprise us. They come into our lives and they surprise us. We're defenseless. Maybe it's a broken relationship. A relationship that you can't believe that it's over. Somebody betrayed you. Somebody hurt you. It just came out of the blue. You weren't expecting it. You received some news. You weren't expecting it. You're defenseless. Okay? It can be an emotional thing. It can be a very physical thing. I know just Friday night, my dad sent a text to all of us kids. There's six of us. He sent all the kids a group message and said, your mother was out shopping today. And when she was out shopping, she just passed out, blacked out. Turned out she was, paralyzed from her shoulders down. They're laying at a store, much like Shopko, Target. The ambulance had to come and take her to the hospital. We're defenseless at times. And then to hear that she had a blood clot in her spine that was restricting her movement. It was just, so it's been a little emotional the last 24 hours. But that's the way life is, isn't it? Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? There's the big things. And we're defenseless, but what we need is we need to be dependent. Upon who? Our great shepherd. Last one is we're often frightened. There's times that we get frightened. We experience fear. We're confused. And sometimes about the uncertainties of life. Something happens and we're wondering what in the world's going to happen next. I never thought this change was going to take place. And here I am at the beginning of the change and I'm not sure what the other side of the change is going to look like. So let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been in the position where you're both frightened, you're confused with the uncertainties of life? We've all been there. If you haven't been there, there may be a day that you will be there. And you're wondering, what am I going to do next? I don't have a plan B. I just never thought this was going to happen. It just kind of blindsided me. And usually I have a couple different options, but this time I don't have any options. What do I do next? And if you've been there, it's not fun. And I want to say that I've been there. And I just want to tell you my quick story of the time that I was there. And on December 2nd of 1995, Heather and I got married. Second best day of my life. Other than asking Jesus into my life to be my Savior, my Lord, my King, That was number two, the day I asked Heather, and we got married on December 2nd, 1995. Got married in Chicago. We came back to where we were living in Minneapolis, downtown Minneapolis. And about a month into that time together, we were looking for a full-time position because I was a part-time youth pastor working downtown Minneapolis. And I was looking for a full-time position in ministry. And lo and behold, there was a church that called us all the way down in South Georgia, about 20 miles from Tallahassee, Florida. By the way, you don't want to be down there right now. It's horribly hot and humid and, oh, it's just gross, okay? So we were, and if you're from there, I apologize. Anyway, welcome to the north, okay? And we went down there to a church, and we took on this position of being the youth pastors of the church. And I just want to let you know, it just wasn't a real healthy environment. Needless to say, it wasn't very healthy. There were some things going on that just shouldn't be going on in churches, okay? And it was getting very difficult. And I knew at a point about 2 years in, because I'm thick-headed and slow, I knew that it was starting to stress Heather out. And here we were only married 2 years. Now she's stressed. I've taken her all the way down to Georgia. And I remember one day after me and the Lord had a talk, I went up to Heather and I said, you know, I love you a lot. And if you want me to leave ministry, if you want me to leave the ministry, I will leave the ministry because I love you more than I love ministry. Notice I didn't say I love Jesus more than I love ministry. Or I love you more in Jesus. It was the ministry. I want you to know that. And I remembered Heather just giving me this huge vote of confidence. She said this, I know that God has called you to do this. And I could never pull you away from your calling. That was big for both of us. Then I remember about 2.5 years into it, it was like October. I remember one day I just had enough. I just knew that this was not a good environment for me to have my wife. And now I had a son. And I knew it wasn't a good environment for us to be in. It was toxic. And I went into my pastor's office. And I said, Pastor, I just appreciate all that you've done for us. You've been very kind. He was one of the most generous people. He was the most generous person I think I know. I mean, they were so good to us. They were so good to us. And I just went into his office and I said, Christmas is coming. And I want to let you know, this is how I resigned, not the best way to resign, but I said, Christmas is coming and we're not coming back. When we go up north, we're going to stay up north. It's just, I feel like it's time for us to move on. So we lived with that tension for about 4 months. They would keep asking, are you sure you don't want to stay? No, we're done. This is God's timing. We need to go. I want to let you know, that's the only time in my life I've ever done something like that. And I had no knowledge whatsoever for about 2.5 months. I had no knowledge at all what we were going to do next. How many people know that's a tough place to be? I mean, I didn't have a lot of other things I could fall back on. But I want to let you know, for 2.5 months, I felt like a helpless sheep. I mean, I knew was we were going north. I don't know where we were going north. I didn't know where we were going to live. I just knew it was time to go on and move to cooler weather, okay? So now I'm this helpless sheep, and now I'm a helpless sheep, not just by myself. I got my bride for 2 years, and I got Grant, who's about 10 months old. It's a helpless place. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt frightened? Have you ever been confused in your life? Have you ever been in a place where you felt like a sheep? You just didn't know what was going to be next. There might be people in this room this morning, you're feeling that right now. And if you're feeling that way, I just want to let you know I have some wonderful news for you this morning. And I want you to lean in because it sounds trite. It sounds churchy. It sounds like something a pastor is supposed to say, and he should. They should. But I want to let you know, if you're going through a difficult season of life, Jesus says these words to you. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Wow. That's big. That's big. This last Thursday morning, I met with two of my closer friends. And I want to let you know, as I met with my friends, one of them said, my employer no longer wants me. He needed a shepherd. So Jesus is our shepherd. So what I want to do is I want to tell you what that means. Because some people are like, what does that mean, Jesus is my shepherd? So give me about 5 minutes to tell you what that means. First of all, when Jesus says that he's our shepherd, we need to understand that he's not talking about a literal shepherd. He's not talking about this guy that's out in the field wearing a whatever they wear, with a shepherd's staff, with sandals, out in the field with the sheep. That's not what Jesus is talking about when he says, I'm the great shepherd, okay? He's simply using what the Bible calls imagery. And the imagery would be something that these original listeners that Jesus is speaking to, they would have been fully aware. They would have grabbed a hold of exactly what Jesus was talking about, okay? And what he's saying to them, he's letting these people know that just like a shepherd is one that leads, just like a shepherd is one who provides and guides and protects and cares and knows his sheep, Jesus is saying, just like that, I'm your shepherd, but even to a greater degree. Jesus is telling us, he's telling those people, he's telling you today that I'm the shepherd that will lead your life. I'm the shepherd that will protect you. I'm the shepherd that will really, really care for you. Care for you beyond anything else. I'm the shepherd that I'll take responsibility for your well-being. I'll take responsibility for your life. I'm the good shepherd. And what I say, this is how I interpret this verse. I interpret this verse as Jesus is saying to us, hey, regardless of what's going on in your life, the uncertainties, the doubts, the hurts, the pains, Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd, just relax. Just relax. And here's why you can relax, because I have your back. Whatever you're going through, you're not going through alone, but I'm the good shepherd. I will be with you every step of the way. I'll lead you, guide you, protect you, care for you, provide all your needs, anything you need, I will be there for you. I am the good shepherd. How many people are thankful for that today? Amen? We don't have to be like the world. We don't have to panic. We don't have to fret. We don't have to spend sleepless nights where you're staring at the ceiling at 2:00 in the morning. You don't have to lose weight because you have ulcers. You can rest in the fact that Jesus says to you and me today, I'll lead you. I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. I'm there for you regardless of what may happen. And by the way, that's exactly what he did for us in this story that I just told a few minutes ago. About a month before we were going to leave this church, lo and behold, that pastor where I was a youth pastor up in Plymouth, Minnesota, who could only afford us at a part-time basis, they called us. It was about a month before we left. And they said, Mike, we really want you to come back. And now we can offer you everything you need to support a family. How many know the Good Shepherd comes right in the nick of time? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Just right in the nick of time, and we don't have to worry. That's why when my friend was spilling out his broken heart this week that he's going to have to leave here and he's going to have to move all the way out to the West Coast, I said, man, I know it's tough, but I want to let you know you have a good shepherd, and I am so excited for you because I know that God is good, and I can't wait to hear in about a year where God's going to take you because you won't be disappointed because you have a good shepherd that loves you and cares for you. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? How many people need to hear that? Don't raise your hand this morning. Do you need to hear that? What are you going through this morning? Is it something you thought would never happen? Is it something that's just eating you up inside? If you have Jesus, you have a good shepherd. Sometimes that shepherd just holds us in his arms and he cares for us. And he meets all of our needs, emotionally, spiritually. He meets all of our needs. Amen? Second thing, this is going to be real quick. We read that the good shepherd, look at it, it says in verse 11 and 15, he sacrifices his life for the sheep. Everybody say sacrifices. Sacrifice. This good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. What is that? That's exactly what Jesus did for us. He sacrificed his life, didn't he? He sacrificed his life where? On the cross of Calvary. For what? For our salvation. So that we can have peace with God. No longer enemies and entomy, whatever the word is. No longer that, we can have peace with God. Amen? Because our great shepherd, he sacrifices for us. And the greatest sacrifice is when he gave his own life for the sheep. So we could be dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Number three, and this is where I just want to nail it today. I want to drive this nail so deep into you this morning that you feel it. I want to tell you this, guys. The good shepherd wants to have a relationship with you. Did everybody hear me? The good shepherd wants to have a relationship with you. Check out verse 14. He says, I know my sheep and they know me. I know them, they know me. And what Jesus is saying here is I want you to understand that we can have a personal relationship. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. He wants to be your shepherd. Amen? He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to protect, provide, care for you. That's his heart. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be your personal shepherd. He cares that much for every single person. In closing, I want to look at one verse that illustrates how much he wants to be our personal shepherd. Let's read it. Matthew 9, 35 through 36. It says, Jesus traveled. He traveled through all the towns and the villages of that area, teaching them in the synagogues, announcing the good news about the kingdom. And check out Jesus. He's healing people of every kind of disease. He's healing people of illness. He's got all power. Check this part out, guys. It says, when Jesus looked out and he saw the crowds of people that were gathered because they saw the manifestations, when he saw the crowd, it says that he had compassion on them. And here's why he had compassion, because they were confused. They were helpless. They were like, what, everybody together? Sheep without a shepherd. I want to let you know, Jesus tenderly looks out upon his people, his creation. He looks out upon us today. And he knows all the things that we're going through. And he knows there's times that we feel like we're confused and we're helpless. But his heart is broken. He's like this. He's saying these are people that are sheep without a shepherd. That he wants us to become his sheep. He wants us to come into this wonderful relationship that's not just about 1 hour on a Sunday morning. It's about 24/7, 365. It's about every day, every hour, every moment, every decision, every crisis, every victory. He wants to be there for you. He is the good shepherd. And folks, you can rest assured today that you don't have to live life on your own. You don't have to live in your own resources, your own abilities, your own talents, but you can rest in the fact that you have a good shepherd. And he shepherds you and he guides you along. He guides you out of danger into a good place. He takes you from a place where you might get hurt to a place where he knows is healthy and good for your life. You have a good shepherd. He'll protect you. He'll keep you from all things. Amen? So why don't we bow our heads this morning before we go out to eat? I just want to just pour my heart into your heart this morning and just say, if you're here today and you're hurting, if you're confused, if there's some doubt about what's going on, turn your focus towards him. Turn your focus towards Jesus. And if you do that, I can with confidence say, raise your head, put your shoulders back. You're going to be all right because Jesus is the good shepherd and he does all things well. He does all things well. And he has your best interest in mind. He might actually be pulling you from something that you think it's not going to hurt me, but he knows it's going to hurt you. And he's pulling you to a place of safety. Don't be stubborn. Just embrace the work of Jesus. Surrender to Jesus this morning. Surrender every area of your life. It may not always be easy, but you'll always be glad that you did. Amen? So, Father, I just pray right now for anyone that's just going through a season in their life where it's just like, how did I end up here? How did this ever happen? And they feel like they're just out there on their own. And they just feel like there's no answers in sight. Father, I just pray that you pour out your presence upon their lives. That you would give them a revelation of your love, Lord Jesus. Of your shepherding heart, Lord Jesus. And help them to have the assurance that they're not alone. But you are with them. And Lord, all we need to do is call upon you. All we need to do is surrender ourselves to you, to your will. And Father, I just pray, God, that you'd be with them every step of the way. I pray for those who we mentioned earlier today that are going through times with difficult health. Be with them and their family. Be their good shepherd. Lord, be the shepherd of my family today, Lord. We just rest knowing that my mother is in your hands. We just rest in the arms of our shepherd and just say, we're just so thankful that we can run to you. You are there. And Lord, we just thank you. Maybe it's a job situation where something's been topsy-turvy. Lord, we're just so thankful we're not alone, but you are with us. And we give ourselves completely to you. Maybe for you, it's a wayward child this morning. You're concerned about your children or your child, whatever it may be. The place to go is to the shepherd. The shepherd loves your kids. If you leave with nothing else this morning, I want you to leave with this assurance that you have a good. Can everybody say good? Good. You have a good shepherd. And this shepherd knows all things. This shepherd has all power. This shepherd has all authority. This shepherd's the one who's in control over all the earth. And we just thank you for that today, Lord. So take our anxiety, take our worry, take our pain. We place that on your shoulders, Lord Jesus, our great shepherd. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.